don't know about you, but I've already been blessed this morning. Thank the worship team for leading us in those very beautiful, thoughtful, many of them passages of Scripture. Give me Jesus. Is there really anything else that we need? I don't know. When it all comes to an end and you think about it, there's really only one thing that we need, and that is Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Have everything you want, but I still want Jesus. I've titled my sermon this morning, God Be Glorified. It seems as we've been walking through the Gospels, and we are almost at the end of the book of John right now, there's one theme that rings true all throughout the book of John. You hear it over and over and over and again, and that is that Jesus states his mission, and his mission is to come to this earth and to glorify his Father. John repeats that theme. You hear it all through the writings or the book of John. And you kind of get the idea, because John is the one who stood by the side of Jesus throughout his ministry, even there under the cross, John was there. So if anybody knew really what was Jesus' passion, it would be John, wouldn't it? Because I'm sure they had a very close friendship. A friendship that John was not ashamed of. A friendship that caused John to even walk the path of death with Jesus right to the very end. Well, I ask you this morning, what is your passion? When we think about the word passion, we think about, well, it's kind of the motor that drives a person. It's something that really cranks their engine. It's something that gets them excited. It motivates us. And if I ask you, what is your passion this morning, I'm sure we would get many different answers. Some would say, well, I like music. Some of you might say, well, I enjoy reading good books. Others might even say, well, it's golf. I had an associate pastor one time that he definitely had a passion for golf. And he played golf at least once or twice a week. Tried to get me out there. I never was a golfer. I enjoyed things like dirt bike riding and working on cars, soccer, football, things like that. Never got around to golf. And as hard as I tried, I could never quite get the same passion that he had for the game. What is your passion this morning? Think about that for a moment as we talk about the passion of Jesus. Our Bible reading focuses this morning on the passion of Jesus. What was Jesus passionate about? What drove him? What was the force behind his ministry? What was he intense about? What did he stay up late nights thinking about? What did he pray about? There are three aspects to Jesus' passion that I was able to pinpoint here in chapter 12, and especially between the verses 20 to 23. The first is, he had a passion to announce the coming of his crucifixion, the time of the cross. We find that in chapter 12, verse 23. The second is his passion that he had a passion to declare the necessity of the cross. The necessity for him to come and to die on a cross. And the third is he also had a passion to explain the purpose of the cross. The first we find in chapter 12, verse 23. There's a key word. Let's just take a quick look here. In chapter 12, beginning with verse 23. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The hour has come. Now, I don't know how many people were listening when Jesus said that, but for a long time he had been saying, "The hour is not yet. The time has not yet come." And now suddenly he's saying, "The hour has come." Somebody must have picked up their ears, because that was a change. The hour has come. This is not to glorify his fame, but to glorify the shame. It's not a glory of popularity. In fact, it's the glory of isolation. It's a glory of rejection. But that glorifying was for us, was for you and for me, because it was instead of us. It was instead of us, in spite of us, that he was glorified. This is the time that Jesus knew that before there was victory, before sin and darkness and death could be overcome, before that came, there, before the victory, there had to be defeat. And he knew that before the throne would come the cup. He knew that before the light of the resurrection, there must be the darkness of Friday. He knew that before his ascension into heaven, there must be a descension into the grave. Can you imagine how Jesus must have struggled trying to explain that to his disciples? Trying to get it across to them, trying to find ways to say what he needed to say so that they would understand, so that they would listen, so that they would comprehend his mission here on this earth. And so that brings us to the second passion of Jesus, to explain the necessity of the cross. How could Jesus tell his disciples that it was necessary for him to die at the height of his ministry? The very peak, the very successful time of his ministry. In fact, he had reached a point in his ministry where other people from other nations and other countries were coming and asking about him. The Greeks that came and said, "We would like to see Jesus." They had a passion to know Jesus, to meet him. They had heard about him. Now they wanted to meet him. And so Jesus then tries to open up their minds and their eyes, and he uses, as he always did, something that was tangible, something that they could relate to, something that was relevant to them, something that they would understand in the world around them. And so what does he do? He says, well, it's like this. Each little grain of wheat, as you know, many of you have seen little grains of wheat. Often we get it after it's the husk has already been broken off of, and it's all be ground up and processed into flour and yummy pancakes and all that other stuff and bread that we eat. But the grain of wheat has a husk on it, a shiny, hard shell. And when that grain of wheat drops to the ground, when it falls off the stalk and drops to the ground, it sits there, and the hard shell is dissolved, and the rains come. And they water that little seed. And then that seed, that hard husk comes off. And then it begins to send out roots. It begins to send out roots, and then it begins to grow. And it grows into a stalk of wheat. And Jesus is equating his death on the cross as the process of the seed of the gospel, the good news of salvation, as it drops to the ground, as it dies, and then as it begins to grow. You think about this, Jesus is not only talking about his own death, but he's also talking about the whole process of sharing the good news of salvation. He's excited. Jesus has a passion. The Greeks have come to him and said, "We want to know Jesus," and Jesus gets excited. He wants to share with the Greeks what the plan of salvation is all about. And so he tells this little story that they're all very familiar with. One little seed sets down roots. It has little shoots as it responds to the light. It grows stronger. It grows taller. And by harvest time, there will be 40 seeds. And when those 40 seeds drop to the ground, and as they are nurtured by the rains and the sun causes them to grow, then the next year, by the time of harvest, there will be 64,000. And by the fourth year, from that one little seed, by the fourth year, there are over 2.5 million. All came from that one little seed that dropped into the soil. Do you see, Jesus is talking about not only His death and His resurrection, but He's talking about the future of His church. He's talking about what it takes to grow a church, what it takes to grow the body of Christ. And as that seed is planted, and as it multiplies, and it multiplies all over the world. So that today, 2,000 years from the death of Jesus, 2,000 years later, there are literally millions and millions and millions of Christians. All came from one seed that died and then was reborn, was resurrected. As followers of Christ, we want to pass on the passion of Jesus, don't we? We want to pass on the good news that there's life in Jesus Christ. That one seed, that one little seed that was planted, makes it possible for all of us to be born again. Possible for all of us to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But there's something that we must do ourselves. And Jesus set the example. We must die to self. You see? Jesus gave us the example. The importance of the cross is the understanding that Jesus died so that you and I can have eternal life. He makes it possible for us to have eternal life. But we must first die. We must first die so that we can be born again. So that we can come forth out of that soil and we can respond to the light of God. Jesus said over and over again in the book of John, I am the light that comes out of darkness. He said, I am the bread. I am the wine. I am all these claims that Jesus made. He was trying to connect with those people. He was trying to help them to understand what His mission and His passion was all about. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheepfold. When you pass through me, you pass through into eternal life. Jesus was trying so hard to help them understand what His passion was. The third passion that we find in this passage of Scripture is the purpose. I've kind of made a transition to that already. The purpose of the cross, verses 27 to 33. Martin Luther once said about this, he said, no one ever feared death as much as this man, speaking of Jesus. No one ever feared death more than Jesus did. He knew what was at stake. He knew what was going to happen. That's why we find him speaking to his father here. Jesus is talking about this with the Greeks and those that were around him about his passion, and suddenly he launches into prayer. This is one of Jesus' prayer. He said, now, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? And he turns his face up to his father, and he says, Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. I think it's significant. As we move to the end of the book of John, as we get closer to the crucifixion of Jesus, I think it is significant that as Jesus gets closer to his crucifixion, that he needs the affirmation, he needs the assurance from his Father, because his heart was filled with heaviness of sin and suffering. And he turns to his Father. When your heart is full of pain, when your heart is full of suffering, when you feel confused and frustrated and don't know where to turn, turn to the Father. Jesus turned to the Father. And in the process of turning to the Father, what happens? The Father speaks to him. And what does he say in response to Jesus' prayer? I have glorified it and will glorify it again. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people standing around, they said, oh, an angel, or there's thunder, or an angel has spoken to him. Their ears were not tuned to the words of the Father. They were only thinking about their own passions, their own desires, their own ideas. They wanted to push Jesus forward to become the King of Israel. They wanted him to fulfill their needs, to fulfill their ideas, their plans. But Jesus was only there to fulfill the will of his Heavenly Father. He was only there to glorify his Heavenly Father. And so they thought it was just thunder. You ever wondered when you hear thunder if it might be an angel speaking or God? And maybe your ears just aren't tuned to hear the voice. God does speak. God will speak. He does speak regularly to us. He wants to speak to us. Are we tuned in to the voice of our Heavenly Father? It's like in the old days, those old radios, you know, tubes. Some of you kids never seen one. I have one in at home. It used to be my dad's. And every so often I pull it out and plug it in and I turn it on. It takes about 15 minutes for it to warm. Well, not quite that bad. But it has to warm up. And it goes bzzz. And then I start turning the dials and it goes. And then the voice comes in. You got the station. You're tuned into the station. And that's kind of the way it is in life, in the lives that we live here in this world. There are so many things, there's so much noise and so much static and so much that we hear around us that tries to distract us from the Father's voice. But let me tell you, if you tune in to the Word of God, if you tune in to the Holy Spirit, God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to glorify his name. He desires to do that. He said, I will do it again. I will do it again. The cross was agony for Jesus. It was a heavy burden that was laid on his shoulders. And let me assure you, folks, there is no other way. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. I hear all kinds of chatter. I hear all kinds of dissonance, cognitive dissonance, all kinds of noise about people talking about, well, as a Christian, you know, your life, you should own a Cadillac and you should live in this kind of a home. You're going to have plenty of money in the bank and on and on and on, you know. I don't find that in the life of Jesus. I don't see Jesus riding a golden chariot. I don't see Jesus' life just a breeze, a walk in the park. I see his life a life of sorrow, yes, at times deep pain. And that is the way. That is the passion of Jesus. Jesus was not saved from that hour, but Jesus was saved for that hour. The pain was not taken away from his life. The pain was heaped upon his shoulders. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his pain and suffering, we have hope. of eternal life. And oh yes, the path we walk here on this earth is a path of sorrow, is a path of pain, is a path of suffering, but that is the path that Jesus walked. Take hope in knowing that you are privileged to walk in the same path that Jesus walked. There's an old song I remember singing, I walk today where Jesus walked. Do you want to walk where Jesus walked? Be careful what you ask for. It's not easy to fall to the ground and have the winds and the rains of life pour down upon you. It's not easy. But I can assure you that if you choose that life, you can walk it with confidence in knowing that Jesus walked that path before you. And not only did He walk that path for you and before you, He did that so that you and I could have eternal life. For such a time as this. This was Jesus' hour. The Greek word for judgment means crisis. Crisis or discrimination. Interesting, huh? Have you ever been discriminated against? Ever? Oh, we have such a politically correct world now. There's very little discrimination, is there? Yeah, you could be a Vulcan and everybody would treat you well. You see, there is no discrimination. We are so politically correct. But let me tell you, it will not always be so, because if you stand for Jesus Christ, if you plan to walk the path of Jesus Christ, there will be discrimination. You will be discriminated against. The hour is coming. It is not yet, but the hour is coming that God will be glorified. He will be glorified through you. It won't be easy, but He will be glorified. Something that I copied down here. In the world, it is called tolerance. But in hell, it's called despair. The sin is in believing nothing, caring for nothing, seeking to know nothing, interference with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive because there's nothing for which it will die. Unfortunately, that is really the motto of many who live in this world today. But we are called to glorify the Father. So Jesus, as He walked the paths, as He healed the sick, as He raised the dead, as He brought eyesight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, as He cleansed the leper, as He touched the lives of the little children that sat on His lap, Jesus' passion, His deep, heartfelt passion was to bring eternal life to you and to me. Joan of Arc knew that she had been betrayed and was to be burnt at the stake by leaders of her own people. And George Bernard Shaw has a play. And in this play, there is this line that Joan of Arc repeats. I will go out to the common people and let the love in their eyes comfort me from the hate in yours. You will be glad to see me burnt, but if I go through the fire, I shall go through it to their hearts forever and ever. Jesus saw the cross and it was coming. And He was willing to go through that experience. He was willing to be planted in the earth so that He could rise again, so that you and I so that you and I would never forget what He has done and what He did for us. That's the good news of the gospel. What was the passion of Jesus? The passion of Jesus was you. The passion of Jesus was you. Even if you were the only person on this earth, even if you were the only person in the whole universe, He would have still died just for you. Just for you. May God give us the passion that Jesus had for the people that we come in contact with every week. Let them know that Jesus loves them and He died for them so that they could have eternal life.